Here we are in the new year, 2023. How fast the years are going by. Well, that should remind us of how short life is. Notice James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So as we begin the new year, 2023, what resolutions have we made? What goals would we like to obtain? And how many of us have considered spiritual goals? Well, our text for this morning's study comes from Paul's inspired letter to the Church of Christ in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3. We'll want to notice verses 12 through 16 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and Father Morgan Street, Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, yes sir, Preparing for Eternity. And let's begin the new year doing just that. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. We study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, of course, and then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But we also want to strive to have a proper attitude, thus in spirit. John 4:24. Now, something else to mention, we would like to get together for Bible studies. If anybody is interested in doing that, please contact us. We're always glad to set up a time at your convenience. And we appreciate your Bible questions and your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And let me give you our website address. In case you missed the sermon last Sunday night at 8 o'clock, it's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. As we're asking this question, how can we obtain the greatest goal? And let's notice the Apostle Paul reveals to us his goal, and we would do very well to make this our goal as well. Of course, Philippians 3:12 through 16, let's notice. Excuse me. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul is writing this from prison, that is, in custody in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours. They would, of course, change shifts. And so he is apprehended. Now notice verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So let's be sure that we know the answer to this question. How can we obtain the greatest goal? Well, first of all, as we see here in verse 13, Paul said he had not yet apprehended, but what was he doing? He was forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So he had purposed in his heart that he is going to obtain the goal. He's not going to give up. So he has set his mind on doing God's will. So we want to purpose our hearts. Now, have we not all set our mind to do something and accomplish, of course, different tasks? Perhaps at work, we have goals. School, same thing. What about in sports? You want to reach the championship and win the championship game and all of these things. Fighting an illness. We want to be determined to overcome the illness. What about quitting bad habits? Well, that's necessary to do in following Christ, isn't it? Losing weight. Here's another one that some of us struggle with. Many others could be named. But have we not set our mind to accomplish different tasks? Well, that's determining in our heart, in our mind, to get the job done. So half a mind will not get the job done. And here is the Apostle Paul. He's not going to let anything stand in his way of obtaining his goal, as he's going to forget those things which are behind. Look at the sins that Paul had committed when he was as Saul of Tarsus, persecuting the church, arresting Christians, putting them in jail, and consenting to the stoning of Stephen, a godly man. What if he'd have just dwelt on that, punishing himself? He wouldn't have been productive in the Lord's church. So he was forgiven of those sins. He had to move forward. And also he could not rest on the good works that he had done and just say, well, I've done my part, now it's time for somebody else to step up. No, he's forgetting those things too. He's continuing on, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So we would do well to do the same. Now here's some examples in the scripture of purpose of heart. And certainly Daniel would be a good example. Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself and refuse to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. He wasn't going to do that because it was wrong. It was against God's will. So that's a good example. A study of Daniel is a great study, is it not? So we must be determined, purpose in our heart to cleave unto the Lord, because we can fall if we're in the church, the true church of the Bible. We need to be determined to remain faithful. Notice with me Acts 11:22-23. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with, here it is, with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now that's what we need to do. Same thing. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law of Moses, that is. You are fallen from grace. So we need to be determined to cleave unto the Lord. Here's another one, Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Acts 14:21-22. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and, notice, exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So, where is my affection, Bob Hawkins? Where is it? Where is your treasure? Well, we all need to ask ourselves that question. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal." Here it is, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's purpose our hearts to do the will of God and obtain our goal, the greatest goal. Number two, notice verse 14 again. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Here's what we need to be doing, pursuing the prize. After purposing our hearts, we're going to pursue the prize. In other words, we're going to be active, not just have it in our mind. That's the start, but now we're going to go forward. You know, hunters can appreciate the meaning of pursuing by understanding what stalking the game involves. When I preached in Hamilton, Montana, back in the 90s, we had, of course, hunters in the congregation, and when elk season started, boy, were they excited. And, of course, deer season as well. But elk was the big game. And so I would mention this in the sermon, "What are you willing to endure to obtain the prize? Cold weather, a lot of snow there, fatigue, pain, whatever obstacles may come." Well, what about putting God's will first and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is? Instead of going hunting, be there to assemble with the saints. So that was a needed sermon. Well, here's the point. How many of us would endure these things to teach someone the gospel? Revelation 3:21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." We need to overcome. Yes, endure the things that get in our way of putting the kingdom first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. What is more important than obtaining eternal salvation? Well, we better answer, nothing is more important than that. And notice Philippians 2:12 in the previous chapter of what we're studying. Paul said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's what we must do to reach our goal. Paul did just that, did he not? And he was able to say in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, as he was facing death by execution, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We want to be of those who will love the appearing of Christ when he returns. Thus, we need to what? Fight a good fight of faith. Finish our course, having kept the faith. Yes, we need to do as Paul did. So are we preparing for eternity by enduring trials, tribulations, and temptations? We've got to do that to overcome. So we're pursuing the prize. We're being active in the Lord's church. Now here's number three in answering our question, how can we obtain the greatest goal? Let's go back to verses 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as I said before, that's mature in the faith, be thus minded. And if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So, by perfecting our faith. Now, we started out purposing our hearts. That's the mental aspect, getting prepared. And then pursuing the prize, becoming active, pressing on, going forth, and enduring the trials, tribulations, and temptations. Now, we're wanting to perfect our faith. By perfecting our faith, we're going to be able to obtain our goal of eternal salvation. So, what we mean here by perfect, not sinless perfection, of course, or absolute perfection in which there's no room for growth, but complete, mature, full-grown, and reaching an adult state in the faith, yet continuing to grow. As certainly Paul was saying that he had not obtained. He wasn't to the point of being perfect. Of course, only Christ was sinlessly perfect. But we need to be mature in the faith. Now, Jesus gives us the answer of the question, what is meant by perfect? When the rich young ruler asked, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Matthew 19, verse 16. The young man, he had kept all the commandments, but he asked the question, what lack I yet? Verse 20 of Matthew 19. Certainly, Jesus knew his problem. His money came first, not God, but his money. And so Jesus said unto him in verse 21, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In other words, put away that which is hindering you of putting God first. If you want to be a follower of Christ, if I want to be a follower of Christ, what do I need to do? Put away anything that hinders me of putting God first, and certainly follow Christ in his teaching. Epaphras, who was a faithful servant of Christ and with Paul as he wrote to the church in Colossae, prayed fervently for those brethren to what? Stand perfect and complete in all the wisdom and all the will of God, Colossians 4:12. As certainly this was a good prayer, to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So we can all perfect our faith by following the same rule, that is the same pattern, verse 16. That's what it's saying, isn't it? The rule. Let us mind the same thing. So we have to stay with the pattern of the New Testament. We must not deviate from the pattern. Certainly we are to understand that. Sometimes people in the spiritual aspect do not think logically, as you would if you're cutting out a pattern, ladies, to make a dress. You follow the pattern, otherwise it's probably not going to fit too well. And men following instructions and mixing things or whatever. We don't want to mess up by deviating from the pattern. The same is true spiritually. We've got to stay with the pattern which God gave us. God revealed the rule, form of doctrine in the New Testament. Look at Romans 6:17. Sound doctrine. That's staying with what God has revealed and set forth. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That's mature, isn't it? thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is all sufficient. Contains all things unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. And of course we will be judged by the law of Christ. John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This is the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. So we will be judged by the same standard if we're accountable. So, how can we determine whether or not we are mature in the faith? Let's all examine ourselves. Number one, do we have the ability to eat the meat of God's Word? Now, we start out with milk, the sincere milk of the Word, as babes in Christ. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. That's right, Hebrews 5:14. Let's notice another question. Number two, do we have the ability to discern good and evil? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14, the latter part of the verse. So, as we think about what's right and what's not right before God, we need to know by the Word of God, not just giving an opinion how we feel, but knowing from the truth that this is right or this is wrong. Number three, do we have the ability to control our tongue? James 3:2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Well, how many wars have started by the misuse of the tongue? Yes, and how many reputations have been lost by the misuse of the tongue? And how many congregations of the Lord's church have been split by the misuse of the tongue? You see, this is the problem with so many of us today, not able to control our tongue, and thus we could not be mature in the faith if we're not controlling our tongue. Number four, do we have the ability to love our enemies? And again, we're examining ourselves to see if we're mature in the faith. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, we don't have to like our enemies, but we have to love them. That is, we want to see them accepted for salvation as they submit to the will of God and they become a brother or sister in Christ. They're no longer an enemy. But that should be our desire, to love our enemies. You see, this is Christianity. It's not like the world. Number five, do we have the ability to realize our weaknesses? You see, again, we're examining ourselves to see if we're mature in the faith. And this certainly is needed. Notice 2 Corinthians 10:12, the latter part of the verse. "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." We need to do what? Look into the mirror of the soul and see ourselves as God sees us. James 1:25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Are we doing that? We need to know ourselves by looking in the mirror of the soul, the Word of God. So, as we close out our study this morning, how can we obtain the greatest goal? By purposing our hearts, get our minds set by actively pursuing the greatest goal. That's an active faith, isn't it? And, as we just finished studying, by perfecting our faith by following the teachings of Christ in the New Testament. So just as the old year 2022 has gone, and the new year 2023 has begun by obeying the precious gospel of Christ, one can become a new creature, leaving the old sinful man behind in the watery grave of baptism. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have we become a new creature by obeying the gospel? And are we enduring in the faith despite the trials and tribulations and temptations? Are we preparing for eternity? We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. Of course, we need to hear the truth, Romans 10:17. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, Mark 16:16. We need to repent of our sins, Acts 17:30. We need to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And then we need to be baptized into Christ to wash away our sins, contacting His precious blood, Acts 22:16. Ananias told Saul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." And Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Have we submitted to the will of God? Once we have obeyed the gospel, now we need to grow. Live faithfully, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ, Revelation 2:10. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." That's what's important. So have we striven to do what God would have us to do to obtain the greatest goal? We've seen how we can do that. Now, let's put this sermon into application and begin this new year the right way, in obedience to the gospel if we haven't done so, and then to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, to add the Christian graces, to serve God faithfully, making a difference in this world, being the salt of the earth, letting our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's make a difference. Yes, we're concerned about the direction of our country, but we, as Christians, can make a difference. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, and we'll study further. And that's always a good thing to do. If we're not sure of what the Bible is teaching us, let's study and get in there and learn what we must do. Having a Bible study is a good thing, and certainly we look forward to those opportunities. And let me say, we really appreciate you listening the past year and now as we begin the new year. Thank you so much.